I want to talk to you tonight about the gospel call. We looked at some biblical truths about the gospel, and in great detail we looked at that, actually. And were you surprised about the numerous verses that dealt with the gospel in the Bible? What I want to look at tonight and share with you is the gospel call. Now, we know the gospel is the power of God into salvation. We know that. Romans 1:16 tells us that. If you look at the handout I gave you, you can see that Scripture is clear that no one is saved apart from hearing the gospel. No one can be saved, and no one can go to heaven apart from hearing the gospel. There's a very good passage of Scripture, and I didn't put it in there. I was going to read it to you. It's in Romans chapter 10. I'll read that to you if you want to mark it down. Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse, I believe it's verse 13. You're probably familiar with this verse. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And then it says, "How then will they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how will they believe in him whom they've not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they're sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things." And then it says, "However, they did not all heed the good news. For Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our report?' So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." In that little short text of Scripture, there's a universal principle that anybody who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But the question is, Paul asks, how will they call on him whom they've not believed? Whoever calls on him can be saved, but how are they going to call if they don't believe? And how are they going to believe if they have not heard? So they have to hear. And then it says, so faith comes by hearing, verse 17. "For by grace you're saved through faith, not of yourself." Faith comes. That means faith isn't there. It comes. Not every man has faith. Okay? So that was Romans 10, 13 and 14. And I said all that just to affirm what I just told you, that nobody gets saved apart from the gospel. Now, look at my next statement I put there. Scripture is also clear that no one is saved apart from being called by the gospel. So it's one thing to hear the gospel, and then it's another thing to be called by the gospel. So now I'm moving from just people hearing the gospel to people actually being called by the gospel. You see that? That's the second line of the first page. Now, isn't it strange how not everyone who hears the gospel is saved? In other words, just because you hear the gospel doesn't mean that saves you. The power is not in just hearing the gospel. People hear the gospel all the time. I preach the gospel almost every Sunday. People can walk out the doors not saved. So the gospel is the power of God and the salvation, but not just because you hear the gospel, that doesn't automatically make you saved. Okay? There has to be a calling by the gospel. The question is, why do some people get saved when they hear the gospel and others do not? Two people sitting there, they both hear the gospel. One person gets saved, responds, comes, repents. The other person hears it, no response. Why is that? Well, Nicodemus asked Jesus that same thing in John chapter 3. Jesus said, "Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." And Nicodemus answered, "And how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time when he's back in his mother's womb?" And Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, except a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." And then he went on to say this. Nicodemus says, "Well, okay, well, how does that happen? How can these things be?" He said, recorded in John 3. Jesus said, "Okay. You see the wind? It blows where it wants to. You hear it, you feel it, but you don't know where it's coming from, where it's going. So is everyone's born of the Spirit." He starts referring to the work of spiritual birth to like the the power of the wind coming wherever it wants to and blowing wherever it wants to. And he says, so is everyone's born of the Spirit. The spiritual work comes and blows on somebody, and somebody else, they miss the wind. What you're going to see in that is the calling that I'm talking about. A further study of Scripture gives an answer to this question also with much clarity. Notice what I wrote down there. Theologians make a distinction between the general call of the gospel proclamation and the effectual call of the gospel proclamation, accompanied by the convicting, revealing, drawing power of the Holy Spirit. Are you familiar with those terms? If you are, then this will be good review for you. If you're not, this will be very educational for you. The general call is like a preacher that goes and stands by the pulpit and says, whosoever shall call upon the name shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Repent and be baptized. And give all that call and talk about Jesus dying for their sins, rising from the dead, and all that. That is a general call. But then there is this effectual call. Now you take the general call, and it's accompanied by the convicting, revealing, drawing power of the Holy Spirit. Now when the Holy Spirit gets involved, now things begin to happen. So if you're sitting there thinking, you would think, okay, nobody can get saved apart from the gospel. True. But then nobody can get saved apart from the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit together. That's what saves. So there must be the true, pure gospel must be heard, and it must be accompanied by the work of the Holy Spirit. Together, that's how God births somebody into the kingdom. Okay? They call that the effectual call. Now, I want you to just think about a few things. Actually, the New Testament church in Greek is called ekklesia. You ever heard that term before? Ekklesia? Or the study of ecclesiology, which is the study of the church? Ekklesia is made up of the Greek word called out ones. Ekklesia, that's what that means, called out ones. Ekkleto and ekklesia being a noun meaning the called out ones. So when you say church, they wouldn't have said church in Greek. They would have said the called out ones. That's what they would have said. They wouldn't have said church. We translate the called out ones, ekklesia, church. But in Greek, they would have said the called out ones. So everybody they seen that was a follower of Jesus, they would have said those are the called out ones. Where does the called out ones meet in Jerusalem? In other words, where's the church of Jerusalem? That's the way they would have understood it. Ekklesia, called out ones. Now, the doctrine of the called is clearly revealed in Scripture. So this is very important for us understanding the gospel call, okay? The Greek word for English translated called is kalektos, I just shared with you. New Testament occurs 11 times, always referring to being called out. It actually started with somebody from a magistrate coming into the square where everybody was and said, "Hear ye, hear ye." And they would make a proclamation. And so what would happen is that magistrate would come in and he would call all the people in the square to come and hear this proclamation. That's where the word began. And then eventually, over time, it became to be referred exclusively to the church. So this word ekletos, ekklesia, was first just calling people together. And then when people realized that it was the Holy Spirit of God calling people into the kingdom, they began to refer to the followers of Christ as the called out ones. We translate it to church. Okay? Believers are referred to continuously in the New Testament as, listen to this term, the called. Very important. The definite article, that means the, referring the called, establishes them as a specific group or kind of people. Now let me give you a little quick English lesson. If I say, give me an apple, or I say, give me the apple, I'm referring to, when I use that word the, it means a specific kind, the specific one. The Bible refers to the Christians not as just the called. It does say the called, but many times it refers to the Christians as the called. making them a specific group. Okay? So, with that little introduction, let's look at numerous passages that make the reference to the called or calling when referring to Christian believers. Notice Matthew 22:14. What does it say? Many are called, but what? Few are chosen. Many are given the audible call, right? But it takes more than just an audible call. It takes the drawing work of the Holy Spirit. And we're gonna build on that. Now notice this verse right here. Romans 8:30. And these whom he predestined, he what? He called. And the ones that he called, what did he do? All the ones that he called, what did he do? He justified. You know what that means? That means saved. Declared just as if you never sinned. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Now, look at that verse real closely for a minute. And let me ask you a question. If I give the general call, does that mean everybody's going to be justified? But it says right there, these whom he called, he also justified. So we got to be speaking about something more than just a general call. Because if we're talking about just a general call, that means everybody hears the gospel is going to be saved. It's got to be more than just a general call. It has to be a specific call. Now, we understand predestined in this context to be synonymous with foreknew in Romans 8:28. For whom he foreknew, these he also predestined. It means to know beforehand. Now, in this context, is whom that he foreknew and predestined. In this context, it is whom that he foreknew and predestined. Also in this context is being conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ, that is predestined. So whoever he knew, these are the ones he foreknew and predestined. And the ones he foreknew and predestined in this context, these are the ones who are going to be conformed to the image of Christ. Those are the predestined ones. Conclusion. Those whom God knew beforehand in his omniscience in eternity past, predetermined those people to be conformed in the image of his son. Does that make sense? Okay. That's obvious. The question is, who are the whom that God foreknew that he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son? Who are the whom that God foreknew and predestined? Answer, the called. Because it says there, whom he foreknew, these he also called. So the whom that he foreknew, the whom that he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, is referring to the called. Does that make sense? For whom he foreknew, these he also predestined. Whom he predestined, these he also called. He also justifies. Does that make sense? So, Romans 8:30, whom he foreknew, he also predestined to the conformity to Christ's image, he also called. So now we're talking about the called. We also know from this context that whoever the called are also are to be justified and glorified. Certainly referring to believers in Jesus Christ, right? You cannot be called and then justified and not be a believer. Justification is being a believer. And because only believers in Jesus Christ are justified from sin's guilt and penalty, acquitted and forgiven, and only believers will be glorified with new bodies to inhabit heaven's eternity. So it has to be the called here. Now, one last introduction. To further understand whom the called are, we will look at the biblical passages that refer to the called. Then we will establish biblically the kind of calling this is. Then look at the biblical passages that reveal how they are called. And finally, biblically answer the results of this call, by which we can draw some conclusions, okay? All right. That all make sense to you? Okay. Now, I said all that, but I need the authority of God's word to make it true. So let's look at it. Notice the introduction to many books of the Bible. Actually, Romans 1 starts off, Paul, called to be an apostle. Paul, a bondservant of Christ, Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. See that in Romans 1. Now, this is going to become redundant and overwhelming as we go through this. If you look at down verses 6 and 7, now he's referring to the church. He says, among whom also you are the what? Now he's writing to the church at Rome. And he says, we've received grace and apostleship to bring the obedience of Christ. Then he says in verse 6, among whom you are also the called of Christ Jesus. To all who are the beloved of God in Rome, what's the next word say? Called as saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, Lord Jesus Christ. He hasn't went seven verses, and he's referred to the called three times. He said, I'm called to be an apostle. I'm writing to you who are the called of Jesus Christ. And you are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints. See that? Now, it gets much more deeper, but that's just his introduction. So what I'm saying is the introduction to many of the books of the New Testament. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:2. Paul starts off 1 Corinthians, and he gets to verse 2, and notice what he says. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those that have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by what? Saints by what? Calling. Another translation puts it this way. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. See that? Now this is Paul's introduction. He's reminding them, you're part of the called out ones. That word church there would have been, they would have translated it, ecclesia. Okay? To the called out ones of God, saints by calling. He's making reference to that calling that they had experienced. Look down at verse 9. God is faithful, through whom you were what? Called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Galatians 1. Let's look at the book of Galatians and how Paul starts off the book of Galatians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So Galatians chapter 1. Who wants to read Galatians 1:6? Hear what he's saying, what Paul's saying? I'm amazed that you're quickly deserted him who called you by the grace of Christ to a different gospel. And what does he make reference to? He's making reference to that calling. Now, this is just verse 6 in Galatians. But notice how many of the books just start off with this. How about 1 Peter 1? Let me skip down to verse 15. I don't want to get into Chosen just yet. Verse 15. But like the Holy One who called you, be yourselves also in all your behavior. But like the Holy One who called you. See that? The book of Jude, which is right before the book of Revelation, notice how Jude writes this book. This would have been the earthly brother of Jesus, along with James being the earthly brother of Jesus. Not real brother, half brother. Jude 1, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are what? The called. In the Greek, the called. We love of God. Do you notice that? I'm only just skimming the surface. Okay? One more passage in 1 Corinthians 1:24. 1 Corinthians 1:24. Here Paul's talking about the gospel and people having to hear the gospel to be saved. He says, for some it's foolishness, for some it's a stumbling block. Verse 18, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. That's verse 18. Skip down to verse 24. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is weaker than man, wiser than man, the weakness of God is stronger than man. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. Let me just stop right there. But you notice what he says there. Consider your calling, brother. Okay. Ephesians 4:4. Is it pretty obvious a little bit about this? How important this is that the apostolic writers would make reference to this call. Ephesians 4:4. Who wants to read that? Galatians, Ephesians 4:4. He can't get away from this whole thing about your calling. And then there's one more, Romans 9:24. There's many, many, many more, but I'm just pointing out the very obvious ones that actually make direct reference to the gospel and salvation. Romans 9:24. And that's a very rich passage talking about salvation. So here's just some passages that are making the reference. The beginning of the book start off referring to the Christians as called. The apostolic writers are trying to remind them, listen, you're the called, you're the called, you're the called. Now, let's look at number two. I'm going to build on this more next time we meet, but let's look at some scriptural passages that establish this kind of calling. Now, 2 Timothy 1:9, I believe, and it's there in your handout, and it's referring to God in salvation. And 2 Timothy says, God who saved us and called us with what kind of calling? A holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. That verse is telling us that not only the kind of calling, but why you were called. The kind of calling that God called you with was a holy calling. Wasn't that just some generic, general, audible proclamation, come to Christ, repent? It was a holy calling. Also look at Hebrews 3:1 in your handout. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the what? Heavenly calling. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. Now, we looked at the term ecclesia, the call. We looked at this, you're the called, you're the called, you're the called. And now we're looking at the kind of calling that you experience as a believer. The kind of calling you experience was a heavenly calling. It is more than just a general call in the audible proclamation of the gospel. It was a holy, heavenly calling. And the apostles make sure that they spell that out when they say that. Okay. There's more. I'm just trying to give you some food for thought. Let's look at number 3 and 4. And then we'll be done. Number 3. This is some scriptural passages that reveal how they are called. Now we know what kind of calling it is. And we know that nobody gets saved apart from hearing the gospel. And nobody gets saved apart from being called by the gospel. But this calling of the gospel is an effectual call. It's a holy call. It's a heavenly call. Now let's look at how they are called. Paul says in Galatians 1:15, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me, how? By his grace. That's how they're called, by God's grace. Look at 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Here again, the calling here is referring to God's grace. But the grace of God, who hath called us in his eternal glory. 2 Peter 1:3. According as his divine power hath given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, to the knowledge of him that hath what? Called us to glory and virtue. This was according to his divine power, it says. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. Whereunto, here's the key verse, he called you, how? By our gospel. To the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you are called. They're called by the gospel. They're called by the gospel. In other words, the gospel has a effectual, holy, heavenly calling, accompanied by the Holy Spirit. When a person gets saved, he hears the gospel, but it's more than that. He's called by the gospel. And the Holy Spirit makes a specific visit to that person and begins to call them and draw them to Christ. And we're going to look at that drawing the next time. But this is, we know what kind of calling it was. It's heavenly and holy. But this is how they're called. They're called by grace. They're called by his divine power. They're called by the gospel. And the gospel is the power of God and salvation. Okay? In Galatians, we already read this. I'm amazed that you're so quickly deserting him who called you, how? By the grace of Christ for a different gospel. The calling that we experienced was all by grace. It was all by grace. It's all by grace. Everything's by grace. I love grace. Okay. One last thing. Number four. Here are some scriptural passages that show the result of this call. Okay. That means it has an effective result. Thessalonians 2:12. That you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. This calling produces a worthy walk. And Paul knows that, and he reminds them of that. 1 Thessalonians 4:7. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but to holiness. You know why God called you? Unto holiness. That is the result of his calling. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. Whereunto thou art also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now this is the result of this call. Just two more verses, then we'll conclude. Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are what? Called. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Now this was not an exhaustive study, but I wanted you to see there's a lot of references in the Bible to Christians being the called out ones, to being called with a more than just a general proclamation of the gospel, a heavenly holy calling. It's a kind of call that is done by God's grace and his power, and it has a result. Does that make sense to you guys? Okay, so you can just kind of check it off. When I share the gospel with somebody, I want to pray that this is accompanied by the work of the Holy Spirit. I pray that this general call that I'm giving him is brought to bear in his heart by the Holy Spirit, a place that you can't get to. Only the Spirit of God can get to. Now, I want to hand you out something to look at for next week. But I want you to notice, this is where we're going to go next week. If you look at, just skip over to the second page. See the effectual inward call? See those verses? A, B, C, D. Okay? It'd be good for you to look at those verses. And then see the inward drawing call. That would be number 2. And then the drawing call, number 3. And then last, the calling that leads to drawing, that leads to following Christ. So this calling that we just introduced today, I'm going to show you how that works in real time. How God actually takes that heavenly holy calling and actually penetrates the heart with the gospel and begins to draw people to Christ. Now I just want you to know, and I'm going to close with this. There's no such thing as wooing in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. The Holy Spirit doesn't woo people, okay? Just to give you some food for thought, the drawing we're talking about is like somebody taking a cast net, throwing out a fish, and drawing the fish in. It's like letting a bucket down into a well and drawing the water up. That's when you see that word draw, those are the words that they use. You see that? You know what that means? That means a power outside of itself is bringing it to this destination. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you that you called us with a holy heavenly calling. We thank you that we are the called. And we thank you, Lord, that there are going to be many more that you're going to call. And you're going to do it through your gospel. You're going to do it through the work of your Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive to the leading of your Holy Spirit. That we seek opportunity to share with people the good news that there's a Savior for their sin, and they can repent and turn to Christ for the forgiveness of sin, and they can have eternal life because he rose from the grave and has the power to give eternal life, just like he said. Lord, help us to share the true gospel, and may the power of the Holy Spirit take that treasure we have in these earthen vessels and change the eternal destiny of souls. And you're using your church to do that. Not using billion-dollar organizations, not using political strangleholds, not using the influential people of the world, the movers and shakers, using the humble, meek, sinner saved by grace to change the eternal destiny of souls. What a wonderful truth that is. May we never forget it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.